السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Kaba'ir, the book that discusses the major sins, those sins that are very grievous and destructive. Grievous sins before Allah, destructive to those who commit them. These are Al-Kaba'ir. Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmad Shamsuddin Zahabi, he compiled Kitab al-Kaba'ir following a verse of the Quran and others like it, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilkum mudkhalan karima. In tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhawna anhu, if you abstain and distance yourself from al-kaba'ir, those ones that are very grievous, kaba'ir, huge, those ones that are very serious and mighty, from ma tunhauna anhu, amongst those things that you all have been prohibited, meaning that from the things that we have been prohibited, some are kaba'ir and some are not. Those ones that are al-kaba'ir, they are the ones that Allah specifically called kaba'ir, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in many ahadith, the Messenger himself, alayhi salatu wa salam, also referred to some sins as kaba'ir. So this book, in line with this verse and other ahadith in its meaning and verses, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, went to compile those kaba'ir about which Allah said, if we avoid them, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, the rest of your sins that are not from al-kaba'ir, and those are sagha'ir. They are also referred to as al-lamam. They are also referred to as sayyi'at. Sayyi'at, sagha'ir, al-lamam. These are different from al-kaba'ir. Allah said, in tajtanibu kaba'ira ma tunhauna anhu nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. So if you avoid the kaba'ir, I will forgive you those relatively smaller sins, those other sins that are not kaba'ir. If you abstain from kaba'ir, I will forgive you those ones that are not kaba'ir. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, and I will grant you a honorable entrance into a place of honor. So anyone who wants mudkhalan karima, the Jannah, the place of honor, he has to avoid al-kaba'ir. The kaba'ir can make an individual either completely miss mudkhalan karima, or that he has he stay in Jahannam firstly before he is brought into Mudkhal al-Karima. For anybody who wants to avoid Jahannam and come into Mudkhal al-Karima honorably in a place of honor, the thing you have to avoid is al-kaba'ir. So al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, فَتَعَيَّنَ عَلَيْنَا الْفَحْصُ عَنِ الْكَبَائِرِ. So it becomes incumbent on us. What is that? Al-Fahs, to become, to research, to find out and compile the kaba'ir. If we have to obtain Al-Jannah by abstaining from Al-Kaba'ir, then we have to find out what are those kabair, gather them so that we run away from them. Because as the ulama say, rahimahumullah, كيف يتقي من لا يدري ما يتقي. A person does not know what he will avoid. How will he avoid something he does not know? So if we have been told to avoid al-kaba'ir, then we should know what are those al-kaba'ir. So he started to mention them to us one after the other. The first kabira amongst the al-kaba'ir that he mentioned, he called it al-kabiratul ula, that is ash-shirku billahi ta'ala, joining partners with Allah. We know how evil it is that anyone joins partners with Allah. May Allah protect us from that. The second thing he called al-kabiratul thaniya, qatlun nafs, taking the life of someone else. A person kills the other person. We know the circumstances where taking the life of a person is allowed in the Sharia by the government. Allah told us about an-nafsu bin-nafsi. When a person commits murder, his own life is also to be taken, basically, as the various rulings regarding that are concerned. Likewise, as-sayyibu az-zani. A person who was already married, who commits zina, and so on and so forth, from the things that we have studied under this chapter on qatlun nafs, committing murder or taking the life of people. May Allah protect us from that evil. The third kabira, he called it al-kabiratu thalitha. He said as-sihr. Al-kabiratu thalitha. That Al-Zahabi mentioned here, rahimahullah, was as-sihr, that is sorcery or witchcraft or charm or black magic and so on, from the names that this evil is called as-sihr. We understand that when a person suffers sihr, he would not know what he is doing. It's not from himself. Something else has taken over him. He used to be brilliant, he stops being brilliant. He used to be intelligent, he stops being intelligent. A woman would love her husband, she begins to hate him. The man would love his wife, he begins to hate her. Like that, it can happen. Even a woman might have been a good wife to her husband, she suffers from sihr. And then she begins to misbehave, and vice versa. So many things. A boy was brilliant in the class. When he suffers sihr, everything becomes destroyed. That person who was responsible for that evil, that sahir, is committing kabira min al-kabair, from those major destructive sin. It will destroy those who are responsible for it, the sahir. وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُ حَيْثُ أَتَى. And the one who commits al-sihr, he will never be successful wherever they may be. May Allah protect us from these evils and its people. Next, al-Imam al-Zahabi said, al-kabiratu rabi'ah, tarku salah. The first thing from the kabair that al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, told us about was tarku salah. Each and all of these kaba'ir are things that, like Allah said in Tajtanibu kaba'ir, if you abandon these sins, you will gain takfiru sayyi'at. Allah will forgive you your smaller sins. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. He will also grant us entrance into the place of honor, al-Jannah. All these things we are talking about, they are things that we must avoid. The one that he mentioned as the fourth of them was tarku salah, abandoning salah. People abandon salah, they observe salatul dhuhr at the time of salatul maghrib. They observe salatul asri whenever they liked. They observe salatul fajri just before the time of dhuhr, and so on, just as they like. Sometimes from the aspects of Tarku Salah is that the individual may observe it at its time, but in a manner that he wishes or desires, not following the rulings of the Sharia about observing Salah. All of these come under As-Sahu and As-Salah, observing the Salah just the way you like, and that is very destructive. Allah mentioned something similar to that in Surah 2 in Al-Ma'un, when he said, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. May Allah protect us from Tarku Salah, abandoning Salah. Some people even completely abandon Salah, falling into a major kufr that expels a person from Islam. We have variously discussed these issues in details. Now, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi went forth, he discussed Al-Kabiratul Khamisa, the fifth amongst the major sins that the individual must avoid if he wants to honorably be inside Al-Jannah. And that sin is the sin of man'u zakah, avoiding to pay zakah. This is one of the most dreadful matter we have ever studied on this issue. Man'u zakah, avoiding to pay zakah. Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. الَّذِينَ يَكْنِذُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ, those who hold back the gold and the silver, they should pay for zakah. The naira and kobo, the dollar, the pound sterling, the yen, the euro, they hold it back. يَكْنِذُون, they refuse, they think that they are keeping it, they are hiding it. They want to make benefit from it by not paying the zakah. This is becomes a kanz for them. They are keeping it away. They don't want to pay zakah. Allah said, "Wala yunfikunaha fi sabilillah." They are hiding and hoarding it. They refuse to give this money that is meant for Allah, the path of Allah, according to the commands of Allah. Allah said, "Fabashirhum bi'adhabin alim." Give them that information. I will punish them with a very painful alim, azab, alim, severely painful punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And further in that verse, Allah told us how that punishment will be. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in the hadith of Abu Huraira, he discussed in details how the punishment will be for those who refuse to give zakah. May Allah protect us. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi continued, he called it Al-Kabiratu Sadisa, the sixth amongst the major sins. He called it Uqukul Walidain, being a disobedient child to the parents. Uquq is not just about disobeying the commands of your parents. Your daddy says, come, you refuse to go. This comes from Uquq. Your mommy says, sit down, you refuse to sit. It comes from Uquq. Some of us, when we make a trouble and our father say, keep quiet, we still continue to talk. It comes under Uquq. So obeying and disobeying. Obeying will come from Uquq, giving the parents their rights, and disobeying them will come under the issues of what Uquq, that is being a disobedient child to the parent. But beyond obedience and disobedience, there are other issues that comes under Uququl Walidain, like Adhal Walidain, bringing hurt or worry, bringing your parents to be depressed. They are sad, they are angry because of you. You said something or you did something that enraged your parents. It is from the aspects of Uququl Walidain. Likewise, Qat'ul Walidain, disconnecting and abandoning parents, is a major thing of occurrence in our own world today. Many children abandon their parents. They don't have the chance or the time or the energy. They don't pay attention to sitting down with your father and mother to discuss with them, paying attention to them. Many of the people have run away looking for job, looking for food to eat. And what consequence upon that was that their parents have been abandoned in their villages. Some even at that in the world of telephones, as little as making a free WhatsApp call to your mother. Many of the people have abandoned this and they have come under Akun Liwalidayhi. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he has caused a child who is Akun Liwalidayhi. In a hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yadkhulu al-jannata aakun. La yadkhulu al-jannata aakun. A child who is disobedient, a child who abandons the parents, a child who brings worry and disappointment and anxiety, depression, sadness, anger to his parents. When he speaks, it is the thing that will bring worry to the parents that he will say, this is an aakun liwalidayhi. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yadkhulil jannah. Such a child will not enter al jannah. Ikhwa, there is a more worrying hadith. We have studied it, that a man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, ya Rasulallah, أرأيت إن صليت الصلوات الخمس وصمت رمضان وأديت الزكاة وحججت البيت فماذا لي؟ A man came to the messenger and said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, أرأيت إن صليت الخمس, what would you see? What's your view, O Messenger of Allah? How do you consider it? إن صليت الصلوات الخمس, if I am a person who would observe my 5 daily salah, wasum to Ramadan, and I fasted Ramadan, wa adaytu zakah, and I complete ada'u zakah, he observes, he gives out the zakah perfectly and correctly, wa hajjajtu al-bayt, and then I observe hajj, I come to Makkah, I come to Medina, I make hajj, and everything that I should do. What will I gain for all of these? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man fa'ala dhalik, kana ma'an nabiyyina wassiddiqina washuhada. Anybody who does these that you have done, ma'an nabiyyin, he would be with the prophets of Allah, wassiddiqin. He would be with those who are true to Iman, was Shuhada, and those who were killed upon the path of Allah, the martyrs. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, illa an ya'uqqa walidayhi, except if he is a disobedient child. So you observe Salah, you pay Zakah, Salafi, Manhaj, everything is complete. But you are a disobedient child. You are going to miss the status of the Anbiya and the Siddiqeen and Shuhada. Why? Uqukul Walidain will make you miss that status. Is this not enough warning for us that it is important that all of us should go back to the drawing boards regarding our parents? Al Imam Al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, he mentioned this as Al-Kabiratu As-Sadisa, Uququl Walidain. When he ended the discourses on Al-Kabiratu As-Sadisa, he came to Al-Kabiratu As-Sabi'a, the seventh amongst those sins that are from Al-Kabair. When Allah said, In tajtanibu kabair ma tunhaun anhu, if you abstain from those things that are kabair, from the things that we have prohibited you from, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum, I will obliterate, I will atone for your sayyat, the smaller sins. I will forgive you those ones because you have abandoned al-kabair. Not just that. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. I will put you honorably inside al-jannah, in a place of honor. If we want to honorably get into al-jannah, we must avoid these kabair. So he mentioned al-kabiratu sabi'ah, the seventh amongst those things that we must avoid. Number seven, al-Dhahabi said, rahimahullah, aklu riba, consuming riba, aklu riba, consuming riba, eating riba. The unfortunate thing, ikhwa, is that it does not remain only with eating riba. It does not remain with the akilu riba, the one who eats riba. That is the one who was given the riba. He took it and he consumes it. How about the mukil? Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'ana Allahu akila riba wa mukilahu akila riba. The one who receives riba and eats up a riba, may Allah's curse be upon him, subhanAllah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in my view, ikhwa, the verses where Allah spoke about riba are very serious. What we have mentioned in this hadith is from those things that we can consider lesser, because there are bigger things that have been mentioned about aklu riba. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, la'ana Allahu akila riba, the curse of Allah, the woe of Allah. May Allah's mercy be far from the person who eats riba, wa mukilahu, and the one who provides it to be eaten. You take riba, may Allah's curse be upon you. You eat riba, may Allah's curse be upon you. Then the one who provided it, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la'ana Allahu akila riba wa mukilahu, the curse of Allah be upon the one who akila riba, he consumes riba. So you will see this is about aklu riba, but he's not just in it. The Prophet also mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa mukilahu, the one who provided it to be consumed. So if someone comes to you to borrow money, for example, we all know, I think, what riba is. Maybe we should quickly mention a bit about that. A riba, linguistically, has to do with ziyada. Ziyada, increment. That's why even in the technical usage today, those who disguise riba, they call it fa'ida or fawa'id. They call it additional benefit. But it is not benefit, it is from the aspects of loss. This is just from the aspects of calling an evil by a good name. But riba itself, linguistically, all its meaning in the language of the Arabs have to do with ziyada or zaida, something that's an additional. This is in the language of the Arabs. It occurs in the Quran in so many ways. The same thing, tarbiya. At-tarbiya to also come from that word. You can see the three-letter words. So at-tarbiya also comes from it, because when you give tarbiya, the murabbi gives tarbiya, he is nurturing. You see, when you nurture somebody, what's happening to that person? He's growing. He is adding to his knowledge, as he adds to his age and status. So that additional, the growing up additionally, is the act of doing that is a tarbiyah. So all of that has to do in their connection basically with the word riba. Riba essentially refers to growth or increment or additional. When something comes in an addition to an original value, that ziyada can be referred to as riba linguistically. But technically, two kinds of riba have been established by the scholars, and it has always been like that since the time of Jahiliyyah. There are essentially two types of riba. These two types of riba have various manifestations. There are two major kinds of riba. And these two kinds of riba, they have various manifestations. The first kind of riba, perhaps we can quickly talk about, is a simpler but the worst form of it. That is riba nasi'a. That a is Hamza. Riba nasi'a, sin. Riba nasi'a, the riba that has to do with time. The ziyada comes as a result of time. How does that happen? If we take it that someone comes to you and buys a commodity for 100 naira. Today is Juma. He promises to pay 100 naira on Yawmul Ahad in 2 days' time. Inshallah, Abu Abdullah, I will pay you 100 naira on Sunday, inshallah, Yawmul Ahad. And the Sunday reaches, he returns to you and says he is not able to pay. I have tried, I have searched, I have struggled. 100 naira has not sufficed. So the person who loaned him that money, he now says, imma an taqdiya wa imma an turabbiya. Imma an taqdiya. You either pay the 100 naira, sir, Abu Abdurrahman. You either pay me this 100 naira. Wa imma an turabbiya. All that we add to it. So he was to pay on Yawmul Ahad on Sunday. So we say, okay, you can pay it next week, Wednesday. But if you have to wait till that Wednesday, you will not pay 100 naira again. You will pay 110 naira. Do you agree? He says, yes, he agrees. You will see that that ziyada of 10 naira over the original 100 naira, it is coming bi muqabalati ta'khir, because there is a corresponding delay in the time that that money will be paid. When there is this ziyada, because of a corresponding delay, that is what is called riba nasi'a, the postponement. It has to do with time. The ziyada, the riba, has to do with time. This was common amongst the Arabs. A person can also even loan money. He loaned 1,000 naira from you. Brother, please, can we pay our salary? Today is 31st. Inshallah, before the 6th day of the next month, our salaries would have been paid. But I need 5,000 naira now. Borrow me this 5,000 naira. On the 6th day of October, I will give you back the 5,000 naira when my salary would have been paid. This is the loan. Now he collects the money on the 6th of January. His salaries have not been paid. So he comes back to you. So my brother, the salary has not been paid. Please give me more time. The person who is providing the loan, he says again, Imma an taqdiya wa imma an turabbiya. You either paid my money today. Today is 6th. Today is the day that we have agreed. If you want me to wait until 10th, then that 5,000 naira, add 500 to it. So on the 10th day of October, instead of the man paying on the 6th day of October 5,000 naira, he now has to pay 5,000 plus the ziyada that has been added because of time. This kind of riba is referred to as riba nasi'a, the riba that has been paid because of an additional time. And then if that day reaches, he's not able to pay, he increases it again. He increases, he gets another date up front, and he gets an additional pay. Originally, it was 5,000. He could not pay it on the 6th day of the new month. On the 10th day, it was increased to 5,500. He said, okay, I'll pay on the 15th. And then for that postponement again, it was given for another 500. So he will now be paying 6,000 naira. That is what he is owing now. Between the 6th and 15th, the money has grown by another 1,000, from 5,000 to 6,000. 5,000 was the original money, Ra'asul Mal. The additional 1,000 is the za'id, is the riba on it. This kind of an attitude is haram. This is a riba. That man who will receive that additional 1,000 naira, he is the akilud riba. And the one in this example that we have given, that is the mukiluhu, the one who provides the riba money to be eaten. The two of them are accursed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La'anallahu akila riba wa mukiluhu wa katibahu. Perhaps as the dates were changed and the money was being increased, they had a secretary who was writing it down. That is the katib. He is also included in the kabira that is connected to a riba. Katibahu, the secretary who was writing it down. Likewise, washahidaihi, the two witnesses who witnessed that loan. Go and bring a witness. Those two witness, all of them, the witness, the writer, the giver, and the taker of riba, all of them come under the curse of Allah. La'anallahu akila riba wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidayhi. The two witnesses, all of them, they all fall under a riba. And that's why you will see that the matter is beyond aklu riba, eating riba. It also has to do with giving the riba. It also has to do with what writing down the riba. It also has to do with what witnessing riba. All of these are common in a lot of modern institutions. Most of the banking products today, even in some of those banks that they call Islamic, some of them have instruments that in the end up as from the issues of riba, riba, riba. May Allah protect us. The second major form of riba, the ulama referred to as riba al-fadl. This was also common before Islam, and it was from the aspects of the riba that Allah has prohibited in the Quran. Riba al-fadl. Riba al-fadl is the riba of excess. Also, don't forget, riba itself comes from addition. Al-fadl is excess wealth. How does that happen? A person has some items that the Sharia has mentioned as the items of riba. He has, for example, gold. He has, let's leave gold aside, but it is the basic thing with which the rest of it, the rulings were derived. So we can also use it as an example. A person has 5 grams of gold. You can exchange 5 grams of gold for another 5 grams of gold. You can exchange 5 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold. You can exchange 5 grams of silver for 5 grams of silver. But don't forget, in that exchange of 5 grams of gold and 5 grams of silver, 5 grams of gold for 5 grams of gold, 5 grams of silver for 5 grams of silver, it's kind for the kind, the same quantity, the same quality for it. Give me this. I like the way this one has been coined. It's 5 grams. I like the way this one has been coined. It's 5 grams. Gold for gold, silver for silver. It is lawful. As long as it is done on the spot, you do that on the spot, hear them be heading, hand to hand. There is no deceit in it. On the ground, just like you have 100 naira, you can exchange 100 naira single note for 100 naira, 520 naira notes. This is lawful. 100 naira notes. One single note of 100 naira for 5 units of 20 naira notes. They are both 100 naira. You can exchange. Please, can you change 100 naira note for me? This one happens and it is not part of riba. Can you change 100 naira notes for me? And he gives you 10 units of 10 naira notes. This is exchanging the like for a like. It is lawful. The same thing when you have 20 naira notes for 100 naira. He'll give you 5 units of 20 naira notes for a single 100 naira notes. This is lawful. But when you have a single 100 naira notes, and the person says, hey, you have to give me 10 naira, he gives you 9. That's an exchange. This kind of an exchange is unlawful. It is called riba al-fadl. Just like a person who has 10 grams of gold, he wants another type of gold. This gold is gold. This gold, this gold. And instead of exchanging 10 grams for 10 grams, he's exchanging 10 grams for 8 grams. This is not lawful. If you want to make it lawful, you go and sell your 10 grams of gold to come and buy what you need of the other kind of gold. But there is an exchange that's also lawful again in this aspect, that is exchanging gold, for example, for silver. You can exchange gold for silver. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَبِيعُوا أَتْفَهَبَ بِالْفِضَّةِ. You can sell your gold to get silver. You need gold? Yes, you need silver. Just like you can exchange your Naira notes for US dollars. You can see they are different. Just like al-Zahab and al-Fidda are different. The same way the Naira and the gold and the, yes, and the gold, if you want to buy Naira and gold, or buy Naira with silver, or vice versa, or buy dollar with Naira, or buy British pounds with dollars. When it is different like this, it is lawful. So you can buy $100 for 100,000 Naira, for example. You see, it is $100 for 100,000 Naira, just like you can buy 1 gram of gold for 5 grams of silver. It is lawful, but upon a condition. That condition is that it must be yad and biyadin. It must be hand to hand, not postponed. If you postpone it, Someone brings $100. He wants to collect 100,000 naira. If you collect his $100 and you don't give him his 100,000 naira on the spot, you have added riba and nasi'a to riba al-fadl. It has turned to riba on the circumstance, except that the naira is exchanged on the spot, yadam biyadin, on the spot, hand to hand. Hand to hand, you want gold for silver or silver for gold, it should be on the spot. There may be difference between the two. You may exchange 100 naira for $1 million or vice versa, but don't forget, it must be on the spot when the units are different from one another. This kind of a riba, where people will exchange silver of 5 grams, for example, for silver of 10 grams. This kind of a trade here is riba al-fadl, the riba of excess from the same thing. 5 grams of silver, he wants to collect 10 grams of silver, or 5 grams of gold, he wants to collect another 10 grams of gold. These are not lawful in terms of exchange of gold for gold. If you want gold for gold, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited us. He said, "Al-dhahabu bil-dhahabi wal-fiddati bil-fiddati." He counted a few other things. He said, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he said, "Mithalan bi-mithlin," the kind of it for it, kind of is sawa'an. Bisawa'in, yadan biyadin, must be equal, it must be the same. The point here is that there are two major forms of riba. The first one that we had described, riba nasi'a, that has to do with time. Loan upon time comes with this. We describe that in giving examples. The second one is riba al-fadl, the riba that has to do with some items that the Sharia has listed. There are about 6 of them, and items like them, like al-dhahab, like al-fidda, like al-sha'ir, that is wheat, barley, and al-burr, that is the wheat, and then salt. And then from al-dhahab and al-fidda, because that was their legal tender at the time, naira and kobo comes in, the dollars comes in, and many other things come in. These are the two major forms of riba, riba nasi'a and riba al-fadl. Bismillah, as we go on in this discuss, we will say more about these various forms of riba. Allah protect us and accept our acts of worship. Where we are now, Salatul Isha has been, the Adhan for Isha has been called. 2 minutes away, about 13 minutes away from the end of this class. But the first verse, Al-Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned, Rahimahullah, to affirm that al-Riba comes from Al-Kabair, is this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha, wadharu ma baqiya minar riba, in kuntum mu'minin. Fa'in lam taf'alu, fa'adhanu bihab harbin minallahi wa rasuli. Fa'in lam taf'alu, fa'adhanu bihabbin من الله ورسوله. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله. The verse continues, فإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون, and so on to the end of that verse. بإذن الله we'll come back to these verses in our subsequent classes to understand how Allah hates riba and to get those verses and the ahadith of the Quran that clearly show that riba is from the kaba'ir. The first of them, or one of those ahadith, is the one that we had cited when the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it occurs from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa sallam, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَشَاهِدَهُ أَوْ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ. These were mentioned as from those that Allah is accursed. Allah is accursed with. That is, those Allah has cursed. Those that Allah has cursed are these group of people. May Allah protect us. Bismillah, we will come back to the issues of riba and the various ahadith in the Quran, in the Sunnah, the verses of the Quran, the ahadith, the athar that have spoken about the serious evil of riba. And unfortunately, one of the most common unlawful source of business transactions for many people today has to do with riba. May Allah protect us from this evil, Abab al-Rahman.
Salawatullah alaykum ya Shaykhana.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Ibn Allah, we come back to class in the next weekend, next Jum'ah, on these issues on Arriba.
Salawatullah alaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.